All right, we're on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. I'll start on the top line. Ayin Amud Aleph. So it's Lachazazita. So the Gemara says means like for some sort of skin disease, it sounds like. He says skin eruption. Chazazitif with an esrog is like when the skin of the esrog isn't, it's got like mold on it. That's chazazit. Anyway, so the Gemara says the top line on Ayin Amud Aleph. It says, Leiti Shevchite Arzaniata, a person, so he's got the skin eruption, he should bring seven plump kernels of wheat, Vineklinu Amarachadata, and he should burn it on his new metal shovel. He says, Vinafik Mishcha Minayhu, and then some sort of oil is going to come out of these, the kernels, Vineshef, and then he should rub the oil into his skin. Rav Simi Barashi, Avidle Lahu Abekul Kavim, Ladabracher. I've seen Barashi did this for a certain non-Jew, had problems, I guess, with the skin, and he used this cure, and it worked for him. Now, let's take a look at the Tosfos, top Tosfos on Ayin Amud Aleph. Rav Simi Barashi, Abedle Lahu, Ovei Kukab, Mkulei. So he says, Iksha Rebbe Bochanan, Amai Lassur, the Rapport of Deku Kavim, Ovei Kukabim, Kidamrinim, Beperek, I'm sorry, Beperek, in Lalutin, Yabi Mialed, Domeiniko. So the Gemara Avodah Zarah says that like a Jewish woman shouldn't serve as a wet nurse for a non-Jew, and it sounds like here it shouldn't even be a midwife for a non-Jew, because you're causing kids to be raised for Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos gets to the issue, can a Jew help a non-Jew if they have a medical problem? Here, the Gemara says that Rav Simi Barashi helped the Goy out. So, Ba'omeri, on the fourth white line in Tosfos, Ba'omeri, the first Tosfos, Ba'omeri, Hashem HaKadei L'Hitcha came B'Refu Ashari K'dei She'el R'Fot Yisrael Ayidei came. So, it could be that Rav Simi Barashi was on the learning curve, and so he's learning how to use the new treatment, and ultimately he's going to experiment on the Goy and use it for the Jews. So, it could be that, well, that's one heter. Inami, second arrow line. Inami, Ovei Kulchavim L'Yavdei Asher Ba'ki B'Refu Azot, or perhaps a non-Jew knew that Rav Simi Barashi was expert on this refuah, and if Rav Simi Barashi wouldn't accede to his request, it would create like hostility between the Jews and non-Jews. That'd be a problem. That might be another heter. Oshema Losheikan Megadol Ben Lavor Kuchavim told me a letter, or perhaps you could say here, the Gemara is saying like you work. In other words, if you're raising the kids, you have a new life. That's for Avodah Zarah. Here is like life and being that's already, you know, committed to Avodah Zarah. Maybe that's a little bit different. All right. So he has a little bit here on this. So he goes through Tosfos. So he says, we're on Ayin Amud Aleph, we're on 2-3 lines down. We're talking about giving a cure for a non-Jew. So significantly, the halakha with regard to healing an akum on Shabbos is more stringent. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Chafav states that refusing to heal an akum on Shabbos will not cause Eva. Since the doctor's refusal can be attributed to the fact that he is inhibited by the laws of Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch rules that one may not medically treat Nakam on Shabbos, even if the treatment does not involve Shabbos violation, since Eva can be avoided by falsely claiming that it's the laws of Shabbos that prohibit him in providing treatment. So, in other words, the Machaber takes it as a way for me to get out of it. Magen Avraham comments that if this explanation will not be accepted by the Akum, by the non-Jews, for example, he's aware of the procedure does not involve any of the observance of Shabbos, and is permitted to heal him to avoid Eva hostility. However, the concern of Eva would not necessarily permit one to transgress a Shabbos Yisur. In fact, the Prima Gadim is uncertain whether the concern for Eva is sufficient grounds to spend even an Yisur Megrabanan. In other words, on Shabbos, Robert Walton. So we're talking about healing a non-Jew. So there's a question of healing a non-Jew in general, but and Tosfos dealt with that. But then on Shabbos, it's more problematical. So the big hedge they talk about is if the Jews don't heal the non-Jews, it creates hostility from the non-Jews. And then it works out, you know, very much the detriment of Jews. In other words, sometimes even their lives are endangered as a result of that. So the Prima Gadim, he felt like that even Eva is only helpful to suspend an Isur B'Rabbanan, not an Isur D'Oraisa. The Chasam Sofer asserts that potential anti-Semitism that can result from refusing to heal an akum is more serious today than in Talmudic times, since we dwell in their midst. He therefore rules that transgressing an Isur Rabbanan is permitted in the face of potential Eva. Furthermore, He says that since the Jews rely on non-Jewish doctors for medical care, it is of utmost importance to treat an Akum's life seriously, sure the Akum will in turn treat the Jewish patients properly. Moreover, the Chasam Sofer rules that in cases where refusing to heal Akum might endanger Jewish lives, the doctor may even transgress an Isur Min HaTorah. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. Now, the Mishnah Berurah indicates that as a general rule, a doctor may not assume that his refusal to heal an Akum is a matter of Pikuach Nefesh. He denounces the practice of doctors who routinely violate Shabbos laws for the treatment of Akum. This is questionable whether a doctor may violate an Isur Gerbanon due to a concern of Eva, and certainly not an Isur Min HaTorah. So the way the Mishnah Berurah is coming out is more stringent, that the Jews shouldn't violate even the Isur Gerbanon on Shabbos for the non-Jew. That's the way it sounds like. So when for doctors, you can consult your local halakhic authority. What? Yeah. Well,
it's the Maimonides oath.
I thought
the Hippocratic.
Not the Hippocratic oath.
No, thanks.
All right. Let me go on. Okay. Anywhere? What? Absolutely. Okay. So Yosef Rachmani is sponsoring today's daf in addition to yesterday, and the Luna Shalom of his grandfather Shalom Ben Meir. Shalom. Shlomo ben Meir is a form of bracha. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. When Ayin Amar Aleph, he says, on line 5, Amar Shmuel, Ayman de Machule, Ba'alonchi de Parsai. Now, Persians always come up in the Gemara. So a person's been pierced with a Persian spear. So it sounds like for Rashi, they would dip the spears in like poison or whatever. So, Nichi Elochai, so he's not going to live, the Gemara says. Adahachi Bahachi Nisrule, but in the meantime, though, we can give him a remedy to prolong his life. So Nisulei Bistra Shemina Agumrei, we give him fat meat that's cooked on hot coals, B'chamer Chayit, an undiluted wine, Efshe L'chayit Purta, Mivchir Abete. So maybe he'll live a little longer, he'll be able to make it Saba, which will be done with his property, but he's a goner. Last narrow line, Amar Abiti Baravin, Ayman Dabala Zibura. So if a person swallows Zibura, so Zibura, they have hornet, maybe bee. I know in Farsi, what is the word for bees? Zibuls, Zambul. I always remember this because I was in a sukkah once and there was a girl and she was pointing to the bees and Zambul. I said to the mother, what is it? Zambur? So I said to the mother, what is that? And she said, bee, whatever. Anyway, but then there's a bee flying around, whatever. So Zambur. So anyway, some sort of in flying insect. So, but he swallows it. Bichlochai, he's not going to live. Adahati bahati, nishke ribiata dechala. We have Shamzag, but he says Shamgaz, Efshar L'chai Purta Mithkalabete. So we can give him a revius of this winter, this strong vinegar, the Chala, Shamgaz, or what's the other way that he has it? Or Shamgaz. Shamgaz, he flips over the Zion of the Gimel. Shamgaz. He says, how does he say it here? Yeah, and how does he say it here?
Wait, Shamgaz.
Wait, I'm looking. What's it? Yeah, Shamgaz, and we have Shamzag. Yeah, Shamgaz. He says, Efshar L'chai Purta Mithkalabete. Maybe a little bit longer and gets about for his house. The second white line. So here we're talking about, yesterday we're talking about ailments like internal illnesses and things like that. Now we're talking about like things that are external to the body. Amar Rishu and Levi, Achal Basar Shur B'lefet. If a person ate ox meat B'lefet with turnip or maybe with some sort of condiment, he says, V'lan, what is it? V'lan V'lavana. And then he goes to sleep, apparently exposed to the moon, on the 14th or 15th of the month, Tkufa Tammuz. So Tkufa Tammuz is like a three-month period. It's during the summer season, and the 14th or 15th of the month would be a full moon. So he's lying, it sounds like outside under the full moon, the way I take it. He says, so, Ochazatu Achilu. So he's going to get this disease called Achilu. So he says, Tana Tona Brisa, Mali Kresim, he called the bar, Achazatu Achilu. If you stuff yourself with food, you also get Achilu. So, Amar, so what is this Achilu, though? So, does he translate Achilu? He says, one second, let me see. Achilu. He says, the Gemara will explain. So, Amar Papa, Achilu Mitvare. Her Papa says, even if you stuff yourself with dates. So, Pshita, that's an obvious. We say, you stuff yourself with any food, you get it, certainly dates. So Tzaka Dechamina Hova Amar Mar, it's Mari. So the Gemara is going to say that we have a statement in the Gemara that dates are very good for a whole zillion things. Masban, it satiates a person. Umeshachdan, it keeps the person hot. Umeshashalan, it helps the, the bowel movement, yeah. Uma Ashran, who makes him strong. He says, below Mafankan, it doesn't make you too sensitive. Came low. So I might think, since dates is such a fantastic food, so maybe there's no problem even if you fill yourself up with dates. Kamash Malan. So Kamash Malan, no, even dates are a problem. Don't stuff yourself with food. So the Gemara says, Maya Chilu, what's Achilu? So Amr Blazar, Eshel Atzamod, fire in the bones. I don't know exactly what it is, but fire in the bones. Maya Eshel Atzamod, Amr Bay Esh Garmi. Esh Garmi just means Eshel Atzamod. He said in the art school that maybe that they knew some disease that they referred to it with the Aramaic. Maya Sute. So anyway, if you get this disease of Achilu, so you should try to avoid it, of course. And we gave things to, you know, not to do. Don't have the, you know, ox meat with the lefet and lie down in but the moon and stuff like that. But Maya Sute, what's the refuah for this? Samar Bai Amaliyim. So Bai said, my mom told me it means his nursemaid, right? Because his mother died in childbirth. Kulu Shakyane, plot of Shiva Tresar. Like all like liquid medicines are either a course of 3 days or 7 days or 12 days. Bahai Adamitsi Kulu. Shakyani Alibare Kana. He says, I didn't say right, Mahayad Dimitsi. But with this cure for Achilu, which we're going to come to shortly, you have to keep using it until you get cured. And Kulu Shakyani Alibare Kana, all Shakyani means all beverages that are being taken for medicine you can have on an empty heart, I assume it's like the stomach. Bahai Bata Da Achal Shati. This you should have after you eat and drink. By the beta kise, and then you go to the laboratory. Benafik umashiyade, and then you go out. You wash your hands. Umaitule. So here's the cure. Umaitule guna d'shtita d'tlafche. They'll bring you one fistful of shtitlafche, like this porridge with lentils. He says ubuna d'chamra atika, and then one fistful of old wine. V'nigbalinu b'hadayadade v'nechol, and then you'll mix them both together and you'll eat it. So you got this sort of lentil porridge and the wine, and you'll eat it. And then you wrap yourself in sheets. And then you go down and you sleep. Nobody should wake you up. So you wake up on your own. The idea is you'll sleep, and then you'll have a perspiration, a fever. And then when he gets up, so somebody should take off the sheet. Who takes off the sheet? If he takes it off, he says, yeah, he should take off the blankets immediately. Otherwise, it's going to come on him again. Okay, any questions on what we did so far? All right, let's go on. Now, on around line, the 12th, very wide line. So, Amar Le Eliyahu, Rabbi Natan, Eliyahu, they said the Oratos, Eliyahu and Avi, said to Rabbi Natan, Echol Shlish, Ushtay Shlish, Vana Shlish. In other words, you should, like, let's say your stomach has a certain amount of space, so eat, like, food for a third of it, drink for a third, and leave a third empty. In other words, don't eat till you're bursting at the seams, which always, you know, just be a little bit hungry when you eat. So and then I heard Rav Leibowitz was saying from another Gemara, there's a Gilyon HaShas here, says, look at the Gemara Masechet Nida. So the Gemara says over there, you should eat more than you drink. So it means when a third doesn't mean actually a third food. And a third drink, it means like two thirds should be food and drink, more food than drink. He says, in other words, so when you get angry, you'll be able to, when you get angry, you'll be able to be filled with capacity. So he says, anger causes your stomach to feel full. So if you leave a little room, you'll be in good shape with this whole thing. Let's look at Rashi. Your stomach will be filled with kaas. So I don't know exactly what he means here. So you have room to fill it up. If you're going to fill up your stomach, then you'll burst on the seams with the whole thing. I don't know what he means about filling up with the anger. I don't know. Yeah, in other words, you have the same room for the anger. So the only thing I'm thinking is they always talk about mara shchora, like black bile. You know, they would do like too much of that with like we with the anger. So I don't know if it's related to that. I'm not sure. But this is back in the Gemara. He says, Tani Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa. Rosh Shleivol de Choli Me'ayim. If a person doesn't want to have intestinal disorders, in Ragil the Tibul Kais V'Choref. You should like always dip your bread in vinegar in summer and winter. Sudachashan Chamimena. If it's like very good food, like pull back a little bit, like don't overindulge food. And don't hold back when you have to go to the bathroom. So Rabbi Levi was mentioning, the Gemara says that not only the health reasons, but there's also a dinner about to shaksu. So Torah says, you know, shoot not show take them. Don't make yourselves abominable. So Chazal said there's a lav, and he said there's a machlokit rishonim, whether it's d'orais or d'rabanan, but if you withhold yourself going to the bathroom when you need to. So back on the Gemara, Amara Utba, I'm on the shati tilya chivra achazatu vitek. So he's this tilya chivra is this like type of white wine. Let me see what he has here. And he says,
It's the blue bottle.
Okay. Yeah. So he says, he says white tilya, right tilya, impurity type wine, right? So he's got this wine. Bitek is like some sort of feebleness. If you look at Rashi says, Bitek Kalashut. This is Amar Chista, Shitimine Chamra, Habu Ma'alya. He says that there are 60 types of wine. I didn't say right. Shitimine Chamra, Habu. He says there are 60 types of wine. Ma'alya de Kulu, Sumka, Recha, Tana. The best of the wine is this red wine, aromatic red wine. Gria de Kulu, the worst of all the wines is Tilya Chivra. The white Tilya is the worst wine. So the Gemara is saying like this Tilya Chivra brings you the bitik, like the weakness. So Amr Yehuda Haiman Yativ be Safrani Nisan Yabi Nura. The person in the morning in Nisan is like spring is sitting by the fire. B'shayef Mishcha B'nafik Yati B'shimsha Achazatu Bitik. If he sits by the fire and then he anoints himself with oil and he goes and sits in the sun, he's going to get this vitik, this weakness. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Hiki's dam shimish mitato. If he has bloodletting and then he has relations with his wife, Avilo banim bitkin. He'll have sons who are very weak. In other words, like the bloodletting is weak, and you have this is also weak and do it, so it is weak. Hiki's ushneya mishimshu. If both the wife, the husband and the wife both have bloodletting, and then they have shimshu. I'm in the banim bali ratan. We'll have kids who are bali ratan. So here Rashi says bali ratan are chalashim harbe, very weak. But there's another Gemara that says that I think Rabbi Shimon Levi, he would be mechaber with bali ratan. I thought from that Gemara it sounded like that they were a type of saras, but here he says very weak. So Amar Papalo Amar and Lo Taimidi. That's only if you had the bloodletting, but you didn't have anything to eat between the bloodletting and the tashmish. About time eating late lambar. Yes, I'm going to eat nishke perlach. So Amarav Ravuna Baman Aderech Shimish Mitato. If a person comes from a trip and he has relations with his wife, I mean Lubanim Bitkin. Also, it seems to be like if you're weak and then you have the Tashmish also weakens you. The kids will be weak. That's the way the Gemara seems to take it. Okay, Tanu Banan. We learn in the Brisa Abami Ben Akisei. If a person comes from the bathroom, Ayishamish Mitato, he shouldn't have relations with his wife. You should wait at least chatzim mil. So the mil, let's say it takes 18 minutes. You should say speaking of mil, chatzim mil would be like 9 minutes. They shashay bit a kisei malabi, you know, because he's like when you leave the bathroom, you have this like demon like squirts with you. But if he does have relations right after he leaves the bathroom, kids were epileptic. If a person has relations while he's standing up, which doesn't sound like the easiest thing, he gets Abid. Abid is, one second, he's this cramp. Severe cramp, he says. Yeah, severe cramp. Yeah, so Rashi is krampa, I guess that's cramp. Okay, he says, miyushav, if he has relations while he's sitting down, okazatu delaria. So the world will have to explain what delaria is, or alaria, the other side. So on the slide he says, perish mafahe, I think that's like to hiccup, I think, but we'll see in a minute. Delaria, if the woman's on top and the man's underneath, you know, during relations, okazatu delaria. My delaria, what is delaria? But now, you think the Gemara is going to explain what delaria is. The Gemara never explains what delaria is. Now, the Gemara says, Amrish Levi, sam delaria dardura, that the cure for delaria is dardura. My dardura, amar baye, morika de chuchi. It's the, I think, the saffron that grows by the thorns, right? He says, yeah, saffron grows on the edges, the hedges, but in the hedges of wild thorns. He says, Rapapa, alis ubavle. Rapapa would chew it and swallow it, meaning the marika, the saffron that grows by the, well, in other words, it's medicinal. So he chews it and swallowed it. Rapapa, rapapi, alis rishadi, like he would chew it and spit it out, it sounds like. Now, the Gemara never explained what delaria is, so I don't, he says that the aruch, so I said hiccup before, yawning, yawning, I didn't say right. He says the aruch identified a fit of yawning, like you're yawning too much, what the aruch says. And that's what he meant, mefahe, yawning. All right, three more lines and we'll pause. Amar ba'i mishin abaki derech eretz. If a person is not baki, derech eretz. So derech eretz is, one second, is like he's impotent. He says, Laiti shlosh kafizei kurtmei dehukhe. He should bring three kafizes of saffron that grew in a field fertilized with sheep manure. Okay. He says, Venidokinu, Venishlakinu Bachamra, Venishte. And then he should crush and grind it up, boil it in wine, and drink the mixture. All right. So Amr Biokhan, Hain Hain, Ha, Chizirudin Lan Aroti. So Biokhan says, I did that. And I got very vital. It was just like, you know, he's able to engage in Tashmish. Okay. Any questions or comments or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right. Let me see if I have something to say from here. One minute. All right. We're going to shift gears in a little bit. All right. Let's do a little story. So on today's daf, we find that one should refrain from finishing a meal from which one has taken special pleasure. I put that thing about, what was his name, Rev? What was the name of the Rosh Hashiva Wayu? He was a Talmud of, just passed away, like right around now, he was 100, Rav Yankelevich. So Rav Yankelevich, when he would have a meal, he would always leave a little bit left over. In other words, like he'd have like this wonderful dessert, and he would never finish the whole dessert, leave a little bit over. And somebody asked him, how come you do that? And he said, it's like finding the Yetzirah. And it was like, he's got to eat. Right. So here, on today's daf, we find that one should refrain from finishing a meal for which one has taken a special pleasure. So the Chabad Chaim Zatzal carefully refrained from overeating in any form. He considered eating an act of devotion to Hashem, would say, when eating, one should concentrate on the fact that it is only through the health the food will bring him that he can serve Hashem. There's no need to search for other medications. He always ate very simply, partaking of foods such as potatoes and borscht. Once he noticed the kitchen help adding butter to his potatoes, he immediately said to her, I do not want to eat butter. One yontif meal, the meat was exceptionally succulent. When the Chafetz Chaim tasted it, he blurted out, this meat is so tasty. He instantly caught himself, pushed his plate away and muttered, then what is the point? And ate no more. He always ate with his sat with his back ramrod straight during meals. He never bent down to his food, said he would lift the food to him. When it was time to stop learning and go to a meal, he would say, let's go get the meal out of the way. He said, in other words, the idea is he's not so interested in delving into the pleasure of the meal. He says, although he was careful to compliment his wife for every meal, his praise was the first sign the meal was over for him, regardless of how much remained. Rav Shlomo Bloch Zatzal recounted that he once asked him, you do this because of the famous Tainis HaRaibid. The Raibid says that discontinuing one's meal when a food is especially appealing counts like a full day's fast. Oh, that sounds like Rav Yankelevich. He says, the Chafetz Chaim replies, even if it is, so what? Anyway, but that was the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Now, did you want to say something?
No, I was saying it was during while he was writing the Mishnah Berurah. It was a 26-year job. He would always say to his son, "Lama hum desas ibiga finished." In other words, let's get rid of the food. Let's just eat so that we continue working on the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, what was the last phrase you said?
Lama shen hum desas essen gandik. You know, let's finish. Yeah.
Let's finish.
It's okay. Like in other words, the essence is just for us to live and continue working on the mission of Aurora.
Okay, let's see further. Now, tell us from the bottom. Where did you see that story, Aaron Moshe? Aaron Moshe? Yeah. Where did you hear that or see that? All right. Fine.
You have to unmute yourself.
All right. I'll figure it out. Okay, let's go on. Now, 10 lines at the bottom. So, okay, welcome, Michael. So, when I'm an olive, 10 lines at the bottom. Okay. So, social bar machish and prochol shel adam. There are three things that weaken a person. He says, be'elohim, pachad, anxiety, derech, like a lot of travel, va'avon, and aveirot. This you all three, any of them weaken you. Pachad, dechtiv, v'diz, secharchar, azabuni. My heart, you know, has been surrounded with anxiety, and so azabani kochi, and my strength has left me. That's one pasuk that supports the too much anxiety. Derech, dechtiv, inab, derech, kochi. He says, in other words, through the derech, my koach, how does he translate here? He says, one second, it's afflicting, right. Traveling has afflicted my strength. Let me take a look, one second.
Strength.
One second.
Failed.
One second. I want to find a place here. I'm looking for the, I'm sorry, got it. Okay, I got it. Yeah, he's flicking my strength on the way. Okay, Avon dechtiv kashab avani kochi. That he says because of my iniquity, my strength has failed. Okay, let's see back. I think any sin, in other words, or aveirot in general. He says here now shoshad brei matzizim hufo shaladam. There are three things that tear down a person's body. He says ve'elohim achal ma'umat if he drank. If he ate, and then then he stands up right away. In other words, like, do this right away. So, achal ma'umad. No, he ate. He ate standing. Yeah.
Like it a kiddish.
Yeah, right. Shatama umad. The shimish mitatoma umad. Now, chamisha krovim mita yotem achayim. These five things bring you closer to death and life. Mielohain, achal viamad. Yeah, right. If you ate, then you stood up right away. It says shatab amad. If you drank, then you stood up right away. Hey, kizdam ba'amad. If you had bloodletting and then you stood up right away, yashan ba'amad. You slept and stood up right away. Sheim mishmitzo ba'amad. You had relations and stood up right away. Now, with what's right away? So, Relivas was saying right away. I think he quoted from the Ma'aril. So the right away means like if you say the bracha achrona, then that's enough time for you to stand up. So he was saying that's like the kavana. In other words, like the person, let's say, should eat. Then you see the bracha corona, then you could stand up. And then we say the bracha stand sitting. Then he was saying that at the end, it says, Yashan ba'amad, slept and stood up. He said that seemed to be like a steer with Ramah. The Ramah says that in the morning, you should compare karid, like jump out of the bed and stuff like that. He said, really was saying he had a roommate once, and his roommate was like lying in the bed, and like one false would like jump. In the morning, and I don't know if he said you got air carry or something like that. So I don't know if he was saying that maybe it means like if you get up like you're getting up, but like you're not like jumping out of the bed. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Thanks.
I don't know. It was this roommate was always like whatever. He had this movement like he's jumping out of the bed in the morning. Anyway, so let's take a look back on the Gemara. I didn't get it so clearly what Rabbi Lewis was saying. You know, shisha osatan miyadmei. There are six things a person does, it's death immediately. But it means that you do all six together at the same time. Me'elohain, hababa derech min kege. I skipped something?
Amisha.
Yeah, I read that. Shish brings Obama. I said that, I mentioned it. Okay. Sha osatan miyadmei. There are six things a person does, he dies right away. You do it all together. Me'elohain, hababa derech min kege. You come from the derech and you got exhausted. One, hakeys dam, and then you have bloodletting. Two, nifnas to beit amerikatz. You go like to the sauna would be three. The shatavanish taker, and I'm coming up with too many here. He says, So wait. These three, six, right? Yeah, baman derech and yegeya. So must be baman derech and yegeya must be the sign of kogan. Then the six must begin after that. So hakeys dam must be first. You have bloodletting. Nechlas beit America supposed to be two. Bishata v'nishtat here, you drank and got intoxicated. And then the Ashenal Gabi Karka, you slept on the ground four. No, Bishimish was five. Yeah, it said it's six. And it is six. So you do all six of those things, then that's bad news. Amr Yochanan Mushasan Kisidra, but you have to do it in that order. So Amr Abaye Kisidran Bey, Shulksidran Chalish, says if you do it in that order, you're a Shorban Gibarin, but if you do it like out of water, you still feel Shvach. But it was this woman, Urad, I never heard that name before. She had her servant do three of them, and he died. He was weak to begin with, so he couldn't take it. But that's that piece. Now, Shmona, Ruban, Kashem, Yatanya, Fed. There are eight things that if you do a lot, that's bad news, but a little bit is good. Be'elohein Derek, like travel. Little travel is good, too much not good. The Derek Eretz, intimate relations with your wife, a little bit, not a lot. Osher, well, you want a little money, but too much money is like, you know, marbe nechassim, marbe da'aga. You know, you have more of the money, you're worried about this, that, the other, and it leads to, what does Rashi say on this? He says, Osher, in the end, money is bavatlo you, it takes you away from learning because you're busy taking care of all your assets, and it makes the person arrogant. It's a tremendous, tremendous yetzahara when a person has money, you know, to be arrogant. And, you know, people don't see the arrogance in their own lives. You have to ask somebody else. In other words, I think 95% of people don't think that they're arrogant. But, you know, if you ask other people, you know, around, you know, and then they can give you, they can tell you a bit better than you can yourself. He says, umalacha, work. You know, some work is good, too much, too not good. Yayin, same thing with wine, machine is sleeping. And chamin. Chamin here means to bathe and to drink the hot water. Bahakasatam and bloodletting. Shmona matin nazera. There are eight things that reduces a person's zera, so it means diminishes the semen. Be'elohein, hamelach, salt, ba'ra'av, like famine or hunger, ba'netek. Netek is a type of tzorah. He says, b'chia, crying, b'shena gabik parka, b'gudganiyot are coriander. He says, b'kshut, shlobizmana, eating hops not in season, ba'kazadam, b'lamata, lamata kiflayim, and bloodletting below, and the Gemara also below is twice as harmful as any of the other ones before. So he says, Tana Shem Shikasha Lamata Kiflayim, just like bloodletting below, which we'll explain in a minute, Kach Yafa Lamala Kiflayim. So if you have bloodletting above a certain volume, it's better. So Amara Papa, front page, top line on the days, we're in 70B, top line. He says, Lamata, Lamata Minabates. In other words, if blood is, if look at Rashi, if you have the blood taken out of your leg or your hip, you know, lamala and a basin below a man's genitals, that's bad. Lamala, I don't know. Lamala and a basin. If you have the, in other words, we do bloodletting like for therapeutic reasons. Lamala and a basin. He says above the basin, Rashi says like in the shoulder of the neck, where Kilbosa, it's also like the shoulders, neck, I think Kibosa is also shoulder. What is it, Kibosa? He says, one second. Yeah, shoulders, neck, or hips. Kibosa is hip. Okay, let's take a look. He says, the kisha shlobizmana. Now, if you say the kisha, the hops not in the season, so that we mentioned is one of the items that was bad news, right? That's mamai for zera. So kisha shlobizmana, tana toin the brisa, chim shikasha shlobizmana, just like hops not in season are bad news, kachyafa bizmana, and the right zman is good. Amra papa, zmana tamuz, the right time for the hops is tamuz, shlobizmana tevei. In other words, in winter, Yomi Nisan, Yomi Tishrei, which would be like the fall and the spring, or the spring and the fall, Omalu Lokash, not bad, not good. Okay, that's the end of the vacation with all of that. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, and then we're back to our regularly scheduled program. All right, let's go back. Now we're back to Gittin. Okay, so Amar Kipu Getli Ishti. So we said in the Mishnah, if a man tells someone, I want you to write a get for my wife, v'achazo kordaikus. And then he sees with this delirium. He says, v'chazar b'mar al tefu. He says, I change my mind, don't write the get. So we disregard later instructions. In other words, he gave instructions when he wasn't with delirium. Then he got this delirium. And Rashi learns that that it comes from drinking wine, but we disregard those later instructions. Amr Shimon Lakish, Kofim Bedonim Get La Alter. So Ishlach says that Mishnah means we can give a get immediately, even before he gets out of this delirium. So in other words, he said before delirium, write a get for my wife. And he goes through the delirium, he says, don't do it. So we're going to ignore what he says during delirium, and we were authorized to give the get. We're going to give the get now. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ain Kotvin El Sheishtape. Rabbi Yochanan says, we're going to write the get, but we're going to wait to he gets out of delirium before we go forward with this. We're going to write it after he gets better. And we're not going to write it when he's in delirium. We'll wait till he gets out of delirium, then we'll write it. So let's look at Rashi, the second wide line. Kofim Vidonim Get La Alter. That was Reish Lakish. He says, Va'afilu B'toch Holyo, even though he's like sick, he's got this delirium. Ho'abamar Kodim L'chein, since he gave instructions before he was delirium, V'lomrin Shotehu V'nechol L'garish. We don't say a shote is a person who's deranged, not in his full mental capacity. He's not in a position to give a get to the wife. So if a person's a shote, so I can't give the get to the wife. In other words, let's say a different case. Let's say a person would say, give a get to my wife, and then he goes off the deep end. So now, you can't go forward with that because he's not bar hachi. He's not in a position to divorce his wife anymore. He's a shote. But here, Reish Lakish takes it that you can follow through the instructions. We're treating him differently than a shote. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we're treating him like a shote. We'll see in a minute. So he says, my time in Reish Lakish, the katani ein v'rab achron and klum. So the Mishnah says that we disregard his later instructions, which are not to give the get. Rabbi Yochanan says, ein v'rab achron and klum. What does the Mishnah mean? It says that we disregard his later instructions. When he gets out of his delirium, you don't have to ask him, oh, you know, when you were in delirium, you said, don't do this. So do we go forward and do it? It's just, no, we got our orders. But we don't write the get till he gets out of the delirium. So what's the point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish medami l'liyashin. Reish Lakish compares his delirium to being asleep. So let's say a husband says, write a get to my wife and give it to her. And then he goes, takes a nap, or he goes to sleep at night. So you could still, you're authorized, you're fine. The fact that he is not conscious now, that doesn't matter. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this delirium, or the way Rabbi Yochanan takes it, is more like a person who's a shote, a person who's not in his full, you know, mental capacity. Rabbi Yochanan, so why, what's wrong with Reish Lakish's line of argument? Why does Rabbi Yochanan decline to compare him to a person who's sleeping? So a person who's sleeping, you just have to wake him up and he's good to go, nothing to do. And he says, hi, mechusar maise. But with this person with delirium, he's mechusar maise. Let's look at Rashi, the fourth white line. Hi, mechusar maise, sirik refuah, this was some kra gumre. He needs refuah to get out of delirium, which the Gemara has is this lean meat. It's cooked on the hot coals. So he still requires something, so I can't go forward and do it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Rabbi Yochanan nami lidami leliyashen. I'm sorry, Reish Lakish nami lidami leshote. So why does Reish Lakish reject the comparison to a shote? Shote lo sami biyadan. A shote, in other words, the cure is not in our hands. And a person's shote, he's like, you know, right, there's no way to help him. Hi, sami biyadan. Here we have the cure, so it's not like the shote. This was some ka gumre v'chamer marka, and the cure is the lean meat cooked on coals with the diluted wine. Okay, so again, with Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, 95% of the time we go like Rabbi Yochanan. Here's also another case. So in Kotvin, so again, so if a person gives order, the direction to try to get to his wife, and then he's seized with this gordicus, so we, as long as he's got the gordicus, we're not going to write the get. We're going to wait till he gets out of his delirium, and then we'll go forward with it. Now let's see Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, that's correct. Umiyamar Rabbi Yochanan Hachmi. Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Amar Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel. Rabbi Yudah said name Shmuel, Shachat Bo Shnayim or Rob Shnayim. Now, let's say you have one person, somebody like, you know, sliced him or cut him in his neck, and he cut one or two simanim, you know, the Kanavesh, the trachea, and the on the Bereshit. So he's obviously not having a long life at this point. For Ramaz v'Amar Kitru Get L'Ishti, he's Marames. And I don't know if he can even speak, but he says Amar. But Ramaz, he says Ramaz v'Amar. I don't know if he really speaks and says these words. What does he say? Yeah. Let me see what it says here. Yeah, he gestured, right. He gestured as if to say, I want you to write a get to my wife. So the people should write it. What the Gemara has been done there, the Gemara takes it that when a person's been so grievously wounded, he's not like in his full mental capacity. That's what the Gemara takes it. And here, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, we've got to wait till the person with the cordicus gets out of it before we deliver it. But here, at least for Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, that we could write and deliver right away. But Tani, we learn in the Braisa, if we see a person who's been chopped up, oh, it's a little god sleeva, I think it means like he's really like being crucified or whatever, he's not in a good shape. And he gestures that I want you to write again to my wife, so that's the kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, when it comes to the cordicus, so I can't write it till he gets into a better place. But these people who we think are not totally, you know, mentally sharp because of the grievous wounds, we're going to write it and give it right away. So, Hachiyashin, Gemara says, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam daita tzilutihi kichishutu dachilabeg. In the case of the person who's been like cut in the neck or he's, you know, heading towards death, his mind is clear, but he's just very weak. The weakness is set in. In other words, his life force is headed downhill, but his mind is clear what he's saying. His haka daita shagishtahi. But here, with the person with the cordicus, his thinking is all furmished, so he's not thinking right. So that's a different case. So with the daita shagishta, you have to wait. The daita tziluti, so you don't have to wait. Now, Gemara sort of like moves off a little bit now. Miyamar Shmuel Hathi. Now, Shmuel says that if the person has been grievously wounded, we can deliver the get right away. So did Shmuel really make that statement? If, let's say, Reuven accidentally, you know, cut somebody's neck and cut like two simanim or mostly two simanim, that's the kind of the Besha, and so, but he did it b'shogeg. He did it b'shogeg. Ubara, I didn't say right. The next case, he says he somebody Reuven cut two simanim or mostly two simanim. Ubara, and then the person who was injured fled. In other words, he's grievously wounded, but he fled the scene. Me'idin alav. So Shmuel says we can give edus that he's dead. In other words, we can give edus to the wife that he died. So here Shmuel said that he's grievously wounded, so he's fine. He's alive. He's able to give the get. And yet Shmuel, the same Shmuel says, we see a guy grievously wounded, you can come testify that he's dead. Well, we'll see. The Gemara says, if you would think that he's really alive, which is the way Shmuel seems to previously, how are people able to give testimony that he's dead? So Amri, they said in the base medrash, Chayhu v'sofo lamot. So they said, like you were saying, Yosef, he's alive right now. Let's say we know he can't live, let's say, more than an hour this way. So they'll come and testify, you know, at 2 o'clock we saw him, but now it's 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock and he's dead. Yeah. So Elamiata, so if that's the case, so then let's say a person b'shogeg cut somebody simanim, so then if he's as good as dead, so again, if you kill b'shogeg, it's in this week's parsha of Shavua, it's in several parsha of Shavua. So if you kill b'shogeg, you go to your miklat. So here, if we're saying that if a person's, let's say, simanim have been cut, he's as good as dead, so a person b'shogeg in a mimus has to be like derech tachton, like going in a downhill session. Where Makot learns, so then he should be going to Galus. Alama Tanya, so how can we learn in the Braisa, Shachap Oshnayim or Rov Shnayim, if a person, it means like he cut two simanim or most of two simanim, we say simanim means the kind of the Beshet, it's the trachea and the esophagus, Areza Eino Gola, the person doesn't go into Galus. So if he's as good as dead, why does the person not go into Galus? By Itmar Allah, so the Gemara says it was stated concerning that Braisa, Amr Boshia, Chayshin Hashem HaRuach Bil Balto. So he says we have to be concerned that in between this accident, the wind contributed, the blowing wind contributed to his death. So in other words, I killed Bashogeg is the person killed Bashogeg. But here, if there's like an intervening force, you don't go to the Yer Miklat. So Rabbi Oshi says, Koshu Shema Ruach Bilbato, Inami, or in the alternative, Hu Kirevet Mitato, that the victim, he himself did actions that hastens his death. Let's say he like thrashed around or things like that. So if the person's contributing to his own death, you don't go into galus. So we'll explain now shortly. He says, "My benayu." So what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? Iki ben adshachted veit the shishu pirkeis. So one nafkamina would be if the person had wounded the victim in a marble home. The Gemara takes it there's no wind in the marble home. Pirkeis, but he's nevertheless did the pirkeis. He thrashed around. So pirkeis I have, but the wind I don't have. Inami shachted the bara below pirkeis, or he shechted him outside and he's got wind, but he didn't thrash around. We need the tosos on this. Okay, let's look at tosos. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth to last Tosos. Okay. Robert, we're in Tosos. Okay. So, the Bira, the Beit of the Shisha, Odlo Pirches. So, Mar Chashe Bilbal Arua, Kirav Mita, Yoteri Pirkus. Tosos explain what's the Pshat in the Gemara. So, in other words, is that an intervening force, that's going to be Makari of the death? So the first Pshat Tosfos says, "Mar chashu bilbul haruach kirav mita yoteri pirkus." In other words, bilbul haruach, the wind, that's going to hasten the death, but not the pirkus. Even though it may do a little bit, doesn't like register. Mar chashu pirkus kirav mar chashu pirkus kirav mita yoteri bilbul haruach. V'tarvayu ba v'shimut machmat arotzef l'machmat devar acher. So the first Pshat Tosfos has is they both require the victim to die as a result of the actions of the person who's cutting him or wounding him, and I can't have something which is intervening, which is causing the death. So one is saying that wind would be an intervening force that would hasten the death, but pirkus doesn't register as an intervening force. And the other says pirkus, which means the thrashing around, that registers as an intervening force, but the wind doesn't do it. So that would be the nafkamina between the two of them on whether the person goes into galus or not. So one holds, the way the first Pshat and Tosfos is, one says Ruach works, Pirkus does, and the other Pirkus works, but Ruach doesn't. But the point is, then we understand Pshat in the Gemara about the two nafkaminas between the two. He says, Inami, or else Tosfos holds. In other words, Inami, Marachash, Pirkus, Machmat, Rotseach, Mishum, Dechodam, Darko, Leparkes, Machmat, Shchita. So, in the second shot, you want to say everybody holds that they both hasten the death. In other words, both Pirkus and the Ruach will hasten the death. But which one is attributable to the murderer, if you want to put it that way? So the Inami, back in the Gemara, the Tosfos, Inami, Marachasha Pirkus Machmat Rotseach. So one opinion holds that the Pirkus, if the victim is thrashing around, that's attributable to the murderer. He says, Mishum, because it's known that everybody thrashes around as a result of being wounded. In other words, so that's attributable to the person who wounded him. And the other holds that the bilbul ruach is attributable to the rotseach. In other words, that happens by itself. In other words, it's sort of like, I don't say proximate cause, but in other words, everybody understands when you murder somebody, the ruach is going to be there and they're going to die. But in other words, in the second shot, everybody agrees that both of these elements hasten the death, but the issue is which element is something that we can pin on the murderer. So one holds that pirkus is something we'll pin on the murderer, even though the murderer is not doing the pirkus, but it comes with the territory. And the other is the bilbul ruach comes on the murderer because that comes with the territory. Okay, or the third shot, inami lo pligi, ani lishni, or there's no machloke. In other words, maybe they both agree that everybody agrees that either one works. But wait. So in other words, so last pshat is saying that everyone will agree with everybody else. So in other words, if I'm in a marble home and
either way, you don't thrash.
Don't thrash, or the other way, or the, you let the wind and you're not thrashing. Either way, they'll go to the your mikvah.
You don't go. No, because the guy killed him.
You don't go. Either because of the wind.
No, there was no wind. It's the marble house.
Yeah, but there's the other.
No, there's no rope here, face.
Wait. So what are you saying?
I'm saying he's going to go either way.
Right, that's what he's saying as well.
Not
gonna. Well, you're saying what?
He's not
going to go to the Arabic lab.
So.
In other words, those are things that would that he would not go into Galus. He's got the ruach, where he's got the pure case. So you want to say, so in either case, he would not go into Galus.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, all right. Let's see back in the Gemara. The all right. Now we're on the third wide line on item base. Okay. So nishtatek ba'amelo nichtov get nishtakav. Now let's say the person can mute, and then people say to him, you know, would you like us to write a get to your wife? And then he nods with his head. So then the Gemara said, right. So we have to test them three times. Let's read the language in the Mishnah again. It says, so if he responds logically, the yeses make sense with the yeses, the noes make sense with the noes. So it really means we're going to six times, three yeses, three noes is the way it's going to come out. Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, So Gemara says, why are we not concerned that maybe he's got some sort of like convulsive reaction? In other words, like he's not like that caused him to go nod yes or cause him to nod no. In other words, how did you figure? In other words, like sometimes people, I don't want to say like Parkinson, but like he's got some problem, he was in the shtatek, like maybe he had a stroke, I don't know what's going on, but he and now he can't talk. And then we're talking to him, asking questions, and he's nodding yes, then he's nodding no. Maybe it's just like some sort of like, you know, like thing. So I'm Rav Yosef Bar Menuhin and Rav Nachman Deminalei. The Seirugin. So we're going to ask him a question and wait, like, say, an hour, and then ask him another question, and then we'll tease it out. We don't think, like, he gets a tick that comes once every hour. He says, maybe he's got this compulsive reaction that goes, like, once every hour. He says, in other words, we're going to mix and match the questions. Yeah. In other words, we're not going to have three questions of a yes and three questions of no. We're going to do one question that demands a yes, and other two questions that demand a no. Then we're going to do one question that demands a no, and then two questions that demand a yes, so that he has like a tick, and the tick matches up with all these questions. That we don't think is going to happen. Okay, now, debate Rabbi Shmuel Tana. So the base manager of Rabbi Shmuel, a brisa was taught, Omrim lo dvarim shel yimod hachama bimod hagashamim, shel yimod hagashamim yimod hachama. Then we're going to ask him questions that would be like summer questions in the winter and winter questions in the summer. So the Gemara will explain in a minute. My knee, what is that? Ilema glufkre v'satine. In other words, glufkre is like the wool coat. Satine is like cotton coat. So we'll say in the middle of the summer, you want glufkre. Do you want like the hot winter coat? And then in the winter, we'll say you want satine. But the Gemara says, but even if I do it that way, was that enough to tease out that he's got his, you know, senses about him? Lechesh duma kora afte. In other words, let's say they ask him in the middle of the summer, do you want the winter coat? And he says, and he nods yes. But maybe he has a chill. Maybe that could be a logical answer. Inami kama achte. Or it could be in the middle of the winter, and we'll say, do you want a hot coat? And he'll say, no, I want the summer coat, or motion that way, but maybe he's got like some fever. So the top line in Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Elab Peire. We're going to ask him if he wants certain fruit, and we'll ask him fruit typical for the winter, fruit typical for the summer, and then I will say this. I think in the hospitals when they're testing people,
mental status,
right? They say like, what month is it? What year is it? You know, or what should they say? Who's
secretary of
that? Right. Who's the president? Things like that. So they see if you got the wits about you. Okay. Oh, it's three yes and three no's.
So the Mishnah, that's the way it comes out. So in one sentence, then, let's take a look. You look at the Tosfos, the third class Tosfos, both on Ayin Abayis. It both Mishnahs by Hirish Shlosh Pamim Alav, Shlosh Pamim Alhein, Ayin Shisha Pamim Ben Akol. So that's what Tosfos learns. Okay, now let's take a look. All right, let's go back to mute people, and then that'll be time for Mincha. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch rules that a person who becomes mute and cannot verbalize his intent to force his wife must be examined for mental competence. The examination is as follows. The husband is initially asked whether he wants to divorce his wife. If he nods and says yes, he must then test him to be certain that when he nods his head, his intention stands for yes. He needs to be asked intermittently three yes, three no questions to be certain that he understands what is being asked of him, that he has the capacity to respond appropriately. Furthermore, to guarantee that he understands the questions we ask him a yes question, two no questions, another no question, finally two yes questions. The Beis Shmuel writes that when examining the mute, the question should not be asked at one time, rather sometimes should be allowed to pass between one question and the next. The Ramah adds a second method of testing a mute for mental competence. The mute should be asked whether he would like a fruit that is out of season. He seems mentally competent if he shakes his head in a way that indicates that he understands the absurdity of the offer. The Shevet Alevi, that's Rav Osner, was asked whether a neurological examination could be done determine whether a mute is mentally competent, or perhaps he should be tested only using the methods described in the Shulchan Aruch of the Ramah. The Shevet Alevi responded that a majority of those people who are born mute are mentally competent, but Chazal did not want to rely on the majority when a test could be administered to show the mute's mental competence. Therefore, it's certainly permitted to use a neurological exam in addition to the test used by Chazal, but it could lead to the following difficulty. What will be the status of a mute who demonstrates mental competence according to Chazal's test, but shows incompetence in the neurological exam? He says, does the neurological examination prove that the mute is mentally incompetent? He says, Shevet Alevi's inclination is that as long as Chazal deems incompetent, there's no need for further concern, but he is certain that the neurological examination cannot be used in place of the test described by Chazal. So the Shevet Alevi is saying you have to do Chazal's test anyway, then the neurological thing could be like icing on the cake, but that's the way it's coming out. Okay, let me have the recording. And again, learning tonight was Lilu Neshama of Yosef Rachmani's grandfather. Shlomo Ben Meir is the formal of Bracha.